All right, if you love Jesus, say amen. All right, we are so glad that you are here today. And how many of you are bus kids? Raise your hand. You're a bus kid? Good. We got a whole bunch of them. A whole bunch of crazy ones up there. And but it's good to be here today. And so glad that you came to be a part of our youth conference. And just ignore them. They're loud, but we are so glad that you're here and that you've been part of this conference. Of course, last night we got off to a great start with brother Mike Ray and brother Oliver Reza, and then this morning, brother Ray gave a lot of good advice. I really appreciated the words of encouragement and then also the words of wisdom. And I met my wife at college, and my wife is sitting in the back. Like for my wife to stand, and she's back here, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure what my life would have been like had I not met God's choice for me. And you know, I think about you young people, and I think about where you will be 20 years, 30 years from now, and how your life is all about the decisions that you make now. And you're either going to look back on your life with great gratitude, great appreciation in your heart for decisions you make that were right and for the Lord, or you'll look back with regret. And you know, part of the conference, this conference, is to help you make the right decisions, to make good decisions so you don't look back with regret, but that you'll look back like many of your pastors and youth pastors, and very glad with the choices we made. Very glad with the choice we made for a spouse. Amen. Very glad with the choice we made for the college we attended, for the ministry that we chose, and how God led us, and it's a wonderful thing. I think about what's in this room today, and it's humbling. It's humbling to stand before you. And I know you're a young person, you're a teenager, and some may look at you like you're not valuable, like you're not worthy or worth our time and effort. But I want you to know you're worth it, and to God, you're valuable. I think about the potential in this room. I think about you young men who could do some mighty, wonderful works for God. And you young ladies, the same. And it's just, it's humbling to be part of this conference. Thank you, Brother Judah and others who have worked so hard to make this possible. Our time is short, and of course, we'll eat lunch after this. And so I want to get right into the message today. I'm going to preach a message today that's perhaps a little bit different, not something that most of you would think would be preached at a youth conference. But I do believe that what I preach today and what the Lord has laid on my heart is for this hour and for this time. If you are used to taking notes and would like to take notes, I would encourage you to write some things down, some things I want you to remember. But before we do, let's get into the Bible, Proverbs chapter 25, if you have them there. And we're going to put some verses up on the screen. Proverbs 25, verse number 11. And if we could, let's read this together, read it out loud. If you have your Bible there, it's fine. If you want to look at the screen, you can do that. But let's read this together if we can. Ready? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Let's read that again, real loud. Ready? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. This morning, I want to talk about words. And specifically, I want to talk about your words. And we'll get into that in a moment. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I do pray that you would help me as I preach, help every person in this room to listen to what you have for us today. May we profit, may we benefit from your word and from your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that the right word spoken at the right time can be very valuable and very beautiful. Now, I don't know about you, but I I want to say the right words. Sometimes the right words are hard to find, and sometimes in moments of trying to express yourself and wanting to express yourself the right way, sometimes the words, finding the right word at the right time can be difficult, can be challenging. But I hope it's your heart's desire to live out that verse, to know the right words and to be able to speak the right words. You see, the words say a lot about a person. You can learn a lot after a few minutes of talking with someone, how someone pronounces a word or how they use their words might tell you where a person is from. I'm from Massachusetts. Anybody here from Massachusetts? We got one, and he's probably lying about it. But anyway, in Massachusetts, we say our words a little differently. And my accent has changed. I've lived here now for 34 years, and so I don't park the car like I used to because my accent has changed. But if you're from New England, if you're from Massachusetts, they park the car in the yard. We don't say, some of you may call your parents sister an aunt or an aunt. We don't say aunt, we say aunt. And how many of you call your aunt an aunt? Somebody say aunt. Yeah, most of you do. Anybody say aunt? Anybody say aunt? Oh, good. We got a few people right with God here this morning. We don't say route. We would say route. Like if you worked on if you had a paper route or a bus route. If you live in the Midwest, they say route. We wear sneakers, not tennis shoes. How many wear sneakers? Anybody wear sneakers? Okay, some of you do. How many wear tennis shoes? And you don't even play tennis, and you wear tennis shoes. And so depending on where you're from, we all use different words to describe different things. We drink soda. We don't drink pop. Some of you drink pop. Some of you drink Coke. If you're down from down south, how many Southerners do we have here today? If you're a Southerner, raise your hand. Southerners drink Coke, and everything's Coke. You know, what kind of Coke you want? You know, Coke, or Coke Pepsi, or Coke Orange, or Coke Grape. But where I'm from, it's soda. Words have different meanings depending on where you're from. For me, you know, fixing means you're going to repair something that's broken. You know, I'm gonna go. What are you doing? I'm gonna go and I've got to fix the car. I'm fixing the car because it's broken. And for some people, depending where they're from, fixing means they're getting ready to do something. So I'm fixing to go to church, or I'm fixing to go to the gym, or I'm fixing to go to school. And depending on where you're from, you may use that word. Sugar can have a different definition. You know, I think sugar comes in a 5-pound bag at a grocery store. But in some places in the country, if you ask for sugar, it might give you a kiss. And usually that's from the South. How many know what a buggy is? You know, I think of a buggy as a horse-drawn cart, or maybe a dune buggy that you would use to go out on the beach. But if you're from the South, a buggy is actually a shopping cart. And my wife will tell you, we go to the grocery store, and she says, go get a buggy. And we'll put our groceries in the buggy. And that's how she describes that. How about canceling school because of snow? You know, that can be a little different. You know, if you're from the north, you cancel school because of snow, because you've got 2 feet of snow outside and the wind chill is below 40 below zero. But if you're from the south, if you get a little snow flurry, they close school for a whole week. And so it is different. How about cold? We all define cold a little different. If you're from the north, cold is when you have a runny nose and it freezes on your face. And you really don't need Kleenex because it's just going to stay there. But for some, cold is when it gets below 50 degrees. And so we all have different definitions of different words that we use. For some languages, there's languages like in Thai, it's a tonal language, and so one word, depending on how it's pronounced, can have 5 different meanings. There's one word that, depending on how you pronounce it, could mean no, it could mean fire, it could mean wood, it could mean silk, it could mean new. And all of those are from the same word, and depending on how you pronounce it, gives a different definition. There are some languages that just changing one letter can change the definition. I remember years ago I was visiting my bus route, and I had a young man come to me, and he said, Brother John, I don't know if my parents are saved. And he said, I'd like for you to come and witness to them and show them how to be saved. And I said, well, I'd love to do that. I said, do your parents speak English? And they said, well, you know, not much, if any at all. Well, I had taken a class at the college on how to win a lost person in Spanish. And so I thought, you know, I know enough Spanish to go and help them get saved. And so we went into the house, and teenage boy was there, and the mom and dad were there, and they did not speak much English at all. And so I was trying to go through the plan of salvation with them. And of course, the first point of for someone to get saved, they need to realize they're a sinner. And I had learned from my soul winning class that the word was pescado. And I only missed it by one word. It's actually the word pecado, which means sinner or sin. But I used the word pescado. And so I was trying to explain to this mom and dad that in order to go to heaven, before you can get saved, you have to admit or realize that you're a pescado. And I said, I'm a pescado, and he's a pescado, and he's a pescado. And they looked at me like I was from Mars. Well, the word pescado means fish. And so I was saying to this mom and dad, in order to go to heaven, you have to know that you're a fish. And I said, I'm a fish, and he's a fish, and you're a fish. And we made it through, and we got through the whole plan of salvation. They bowed their head. They asked Jesus to come in their heart, and they got saved. And I don't know if they're going to heaven or some big aquarium in the sky, but words are very important. And so this morning, I want to take the next few minutes and talk to you about words. You see, your words say a lot about your spirit and attitude. After talking to someone for just a few minutes, you can oftentimes tell if a person is saved or unsaved just by their words. You can tell if somebody is right with God or not right with God by what? Their words. Because words, the words we say and the words we use, can say a lot about us. It might tell a person if we're happy or bitter or angry. And so today, this morning, I want to talk about words that reveal a right spirit and a right attitude toward God and toward others. And these words that I want to give you this morning are sometimes words that are difficult to say. They're not the words that we use in our vocabulary on a regular basis, but some of these words ought to become part of our regular vocabulary. But I want to give you four phrases this morning that reveal a right spirit in my heart, in my life. I want to show you Psalms chapter 51 and verse 10. The Bible says here, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, the theme of our conference is revival. And revival is about renewing. It's about renewal. And this morning, I want you to see that there needs to be a renewal in your spirit. Your spirit needs to be renewed. And the way that your spirit is going to be renewed, a lot of that is going to be through the words that you say, the words that you use. And so I want to, and you can write these down. These are simple words, probably one of the most simple messages that you'll hear this week, a very simple message, but I believe a very important message because of how these words reveal so much about us. But yet sometimes these words are difficult to say. The first phrase I want to give you is the word thank you. Thank you. Thank you is a phrase, and it expresses a spirit of gratitude. If you would, put up there 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I want you to read this with me, if you would. Everybody look at the screen, and we'll look at this together and read it together. Ready? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Why should we say thank you? We should say thank you because it gives credit to someone for what they have done for me. And when I say thank you to somebody, I'm saying to them, I'm expressing gratitude that I have in my heart, in my spirit, for what someone has done for me. You know why some of you struggle with the simple words of thank you? Because you don't have gratitude in your heart. You don't have a heart of gratitude toward those who have done so much for you. And I think sometimes in this generation, and maybe even among young people, you know, you receive so much, and so much is done for you. I think about the work that our youth pastors and pastors have done to help you just come on this trip. And they do it because they're devoted to you. They have prayed and they have fasted and they have begged God that God would do a work in your heart and work in your life. And I wonder how many teenagers have said those two simple words, thank you. Thank you. Why should we say thank you? Thank you is unselfish. Thank you is saying it's not about me and just pleasing me, but I want you to know that I'm grateful for what you've done. And thank you needs to be a part of your vocabulary. And you need to get in the habit of saying those two words, thank you. Let's practice this morning. Can you say it? Thank you. Try it again. Thank you. Try it again. Thank you. A little louder. Thank you. You see, it's not hard to say. Those are easy words to say, but yet sometimes they're difficult. Sometimes it's hard to muster up the gratitude that we ought to feel in our hearts when we don't feel like being grateful, and yet it needs to be part of our vocabulary where we're willing to say thank you. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you said thank you to God for all he's done for you? When was the last time you took some time and you got alone somewhere and you said, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for my sin. Thank you for a Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my youth group. Thank you for my youth pastor. Thank you for my mom, and thank you for my dad, and thank you that I have clothes to wear, and thank you that I have a roof over my head, and thank you that I have air to breathe, and thank you, God, for all the wonderful things that you do for me. You ever thank God for how good he is to you? You see, having a spirit of gratitude is a lot different than having a spirit of complaining. Some of you have done some complaining this week. You haven't liked your accommodations. Maybe you haven't liked the food. Maybe you haven't liked the situation that you're in. And I tell you, what will change your spirit and change your attitude is be grateful. Be grateful. When was the last time you said thank you to your dad for all that he does for you? When was the last time you said, Dad, thank you for going to work and paying the bills, and buying the food, and paying for us to have a house to live in, and thank you for the vacations, and thank you for the Christian school, and thank you for taking us to church, and thank you for all that you do for us? When was the last time you said thank you to your mom for all that she does for you? Thank you, Mom, for cooking the meals. Thank you, Mom, for cleaning the house, washing my clothes, and taking care of us. When was the last time you said thank you? Some of you need to, maybe even this afternoon, get on the phone and say, hey, Mom and Dad, I just want to thank you for letting me come to youth conference. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for providing for me, and thank you for all that you do for me. Some of you need to find your youth pastor this afternoon and say thank you for bringing us this week. Some of you need to find the bus driver that drove the bus or drove the van so you could be here this week and say thank you for driving the bus and thank you for driving the van. Thank you. Some of you need to find the chaperones that many have taken off work and taken vacation time to be here so you could enjoy a week at youth conference, and maybe you ought to find them. Instead of giving them attitude, give them gratitude and say thank you. You know, if you could develop an attitude of gratitude in your life, it would change your whole spirit. You know, some of you here today, I can tell some of your faces, you're not happy, you're not excited, you're really not glad you're here, and so much of that is because you're ungrateful. And the words thank you need to be part of your vocabulary. It's not that hard to say. Let's say it again. Thank you. Say it again. Thank you. Second word I want to give you today, and I'm going to move along quickly. These words sometimes are hard to say, but this is the phrase. It's the phrase, I love you. I love you. I love you is a spirit of love. And if we'll put 1 John chapter 4 and 7 and 8 up there on the screen, and let's read this together if we can. Ready? Let's read it together. Ready? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Brother Vasek, you're here this morning. You preached an unbelievable message about God's love. And I don't know how many times I have revisited that and thought about that. I wish everyone in this room could hear that message, because God loves you. You might be sitting way up in the corner of the balcony on this side, or maybe way up there, or maybe up here on this side. You might be way up there in the dark up there. Maybe you're talking, I don't know. Maybe you're way up there in the balcony, or maybe way up here. Maybe you're a bus kid from Chicago and you're sitting way over here. Listen, maybe you're on the bottom floor, way back here in the dark. Listen to me. Maybe you're down front. Listen to me. God loves you. God loves you. And everybody in this room has a desire to be loved. We all want to be loved. There's not a person in this room who does not want somebody to love you. But I'm telling you something, it's hard sometimes to say, I love you. Why is that? Why is it hard sometimes to say to the people that we love, I love you? I think one reason is out of fear. I think sometimes it's hard to say because there's a fear that maybe it will not be returned. Maybe if I say I love somebody, they won't love me back. Maybe because I'm afraid, I fear that I will love you more than you love me. Maybe I have fear that it will be rejected. You know, the Bible says that perfect love casteth out fear. And what is perfect love? It's a love that says, no matter what, I love you. I love you. And there needs to be a spirit of love in your heart. There needs to be a spirit of love toward God, number one. Do you love God? Say amen.
Amen.
When was the last time you told him? When was the last time you said, God, I know you love me, and I just want you to know that I love you too. I love you, God. I love you. I love you, Lord. And those simple words can be so difficult to say. Perfect love is, I love you no matter what. You know, I know I can honestly say, genuinely, sincerely in my heart, that I love those kids up there. Most of those kids up there are from Chicago, and they ride our buses and they come to our church. And I love them. And listen, I don't love them for what they give me. It's not about what I get. It's about what I give. And that's what love is. Nikki Cruz was a gang leader back in the 1950s in New York City. He was the head of a vicious, notable gang back in that day of time. And there was a preacher. His name was David Wilkerson, not related to our pastor, but David Wilkerson was a skinny white preacher who would go into these gang-infested neighborhoods of New York City, and he'd try to reach them and tell them about Jesus. And Nikki Cruz hated David Wilkerson. He hated that preacher every time he would come by, and he would preach about Jesus, and Nikki hated it. He hated every time he would show up. And one day, Nikki and David had a little confrontation in an alley. And Nikki pulled out a knife, a switchblade, and said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm tired of you coming by. I'm tired of you telling us about Jesus. I'm just sick of it." He said, "I ought to just kill you right here and cut you in 1,000 pieces." David Wilkerson said, "Nikki, yeah, you can do that. You can take your knife and you can cut me in 1,000 pieces." And he said, "And every piece will say, I love you. I love you." And you know, everyone in this room wants to be loved in that way. But let me ask you a question. Do you love that way? When was the last time you told your dad, "I love you"? Hey, boys, young men. When was the last time you said, "I love you, Dad"? When was the last time you said, "I love you, Mom"? When was the last time those words rolled off your lips and you said, "I love you"? My dad was not a very affectionate father. He loved me dearly, and he proved it in so many ways, but he just wasn't very affectionate. And those words just were not real common in our home. I remember going to Bible college, and as I matured as a Christian, I realized that I needed to express my love to my dad. And I remember the first time, after talking to him on the phone, and at the end of the conversation, I said, "Hey, Dad, I just want you to know I love you." And there was a little pause on the other end of the line, and I don't think my dad knew what to say. He was a little bit stunned, perhaps. And after a minute or two, he said, "I love you too, son." And you know, since that day, Brother Abdel, there wasn't a conversation I ever had with my dad where I didn't end that conversation without saying, "I love you, Dad." You know, my dad went to heaven 3 years ago. He died of lung cancer. And I can tell you today that I am so very glad that I told my dad, "I love you. I love you." Was he perfect? No. No. But I can tell you what, I love my dad. And I'm glad I expressed my love to my dad. I love you. It's not a hard phrase. Can you say it? I love you. Say it again. I love you. Oh, say it again. Oh, that felt good. Say it again. Oh, thank you very much. Oh, that felt good. Not hard words. But yes, sometimes they're difficult to say. Sometimes it's awkward to say. Some of you this afternoon, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe sometime this week before you go home, you get on the phone. Say, "I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. I love you. I love you, not because of who you are, but because of who I am. I want to have a spirit of love." Not hard to say, but yes, sometimes difficult. I'm going to give you a third phrase. We're almost done. The third phrase, maybe one of the harder of the ones I'll give you today, and it's the words, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." You see, "I'm sorry" is a spirit of repentance. Let's read, if we can, 1 John 1:9. Let's read, look at this and read this together if we can. Ready? "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." To confess means to agree. To confess means to take responsibility. When you remember the story with David, when David sinned with Bathsheba, and in Psalm 51, verse 3, the Bible says, "For I acknowledge my transgression, And one of the first things that David did is he acknowledged he was wrong. You know why young people have a hard time saying I'm sorry? Because you have a hard time taking responsibility for your sin. Some of you today, this happens all the time at our school, and I don't deal a lot with the discipline, but sometimes at our school, there'll be an incident, and we'll question some people and say, you know anything about this? Were you involved with this? And everybody wants to deny it. Everybody wants to say, no, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. I wasn't involved. I didn't say that. I didn't do that. We don't want to take responsibility for our actions. And the reason we struggle with those simple words of I'm sorry is because we do not want to be responsible for our actions. When was the last time you humbled yourself and admitted you were wrong and confessed your sin to God? You see, confession is a very important part of the Christian life. I believe we ought to praise God. I believe we ought to worship God. I believe we ought to pray for others. But also believe this, we ought to have a daily time where we confess our sin before God. God knows what you've done. You can't hide your sin. You can't keep it in a closet. You can't hide it under your bed where God can't see and God can't know. God knows. But what God is waiting for is for you to acknowledge and agree and take responsibility for what you've done. You know, it's about time that young people in this generation own up to their actions. Own up to your actions and take responsibility for what you've done. If you've done wrong, take responsibility. Admit it, confess it, and then move on. But some of you, you've got sin in your life, you've got wrong in your life, and the reason you struggle is because you're having a hard time admitting and confessing your sin. It's not a hard word to say, but sometimes it's very hard. Can you say it? I'm sorry. Say it again. I'm sorry. Boy, those are hard words sometimes. It's hard sometimes to have to admit, you know, I've done wrong. I wronged you. Lord, I've done wrong. I've sinned against you. And Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. How about saying I'm sorry to your parents? How about saying I'm sorry to your mom and dad when you've done wrong? How about I'm sorry to your youth pastor, one of the leaders in your group? How about I'm sorry when you know you're guilty, you know you didn't do the right thing, and admitting you did wrong, confessing it, and then coming clean and saying I'm sorry. Hard sometimes, but very important for your spirit. If we're going to have revival this week at youth conference, there has to be a spirit of repentance. There has to be a spirit of repentance among the young people who are willing to acknowledge, they're willing to take responsibility, and then they're willing to say, I'm sorry. Abraham Lincoln said, never ruin an apology with an excuse. Never ruin an apology with an excuse. When was the last time you said to your parents, I'm sorry for my behavior? Some of you may have left home and maybe things were a little tense. Maybe things weren't so great when you left. Maybe before you get home, you ought to get on the phone and say, Mom, Dad, just want you to know that I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Some of you need to say that to your youth pastor because you're not right with your youth pastor. Some of you need to say that to your pastor because things aren't right with you and your pastor, or maybe one of the leaders in your ministry. You need to say, you know, I need to admit some things and I need to say, I'm sorry. Not hard words, but sometimes very difficult to say. What's the first one? Thank you. Say it. What's the first one?
Thank you.
What's the second one? Oh, I love you too. Boy, that's so sweet. What's the third one? I'm sorry. I'll give you one more and we're going to quit and go to lunch. The last one I want to give you this morning is the word, here am I. Here am I. Here am I is a spirit of surrender. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. Four times God called Samuel. Three times he ran to Eli. And then the fourth time he said to God, speak, for thy servant heareth. You know, those words, here am I, is a spirit of surrender. My mom is deaf, and so she can't hear, and so we have to communicate to her in sign language. And now I got to admit, I wasn't always the best child in the world. Sometimes she'd be vacuuming in the house. We'd unplug the vacuum cleaner and things like that. But I did say, I'm sorry, so we're good. And I told her I loved her and thanked her for all the things she did for me. But in sign language, the word for surrender, the sign for surrender is this. We sing the song, I surrender all. And you know what surrender, you know, this sign right here is universal. Everybody in the whole world knows what this means. It means I give up. Surrender means I give up. And what God wants everyone to do in this room, he wants you to give up. When I was 17 years old, I was sitting right over here in this section, and I came to youth conference. I had been invited to come. It wasn't even my church that came. It was another church who invited me to tag along. And so I was just kind of with another group, and I was here for the week, and I'd already finished high school, and I had plans. I mean, I had plans. I knew where I was going to go to school. I knew what I was going to do with my life. I mean, I had my plans. I knew what I wanted to do. And I was sitting right over here, and it was Friday morning, and Brother Hiles preached. And the invitation was given. And God tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, John, he said, I want you to surrender to my will. And I sat in my chair, and I was just right over here where these young ladies are, and I sat in my chair, and I wrestled with that because I had plans. I was 17, I was done with high school, and I knew what I wanted to do, and I had plans. I didn't want to surrender to the Lord. I didn't want to surrender to God. And so I sat there. I stayed in my chair, and while the invitation was going, I mean, people were flooding the altar, and hundreds of teenagers came from all over, and they were standing here at the front, and I just sat in my chair, and I had my face in my hands, and I said, no, I don't want to. And then after several minutes, I finally said, you know what? I give up. I give up. God, I give up. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what you want. And so I left my chair right back here, and I walked down this aisle, and I came down here and stood at the front. And I said to the Lord, and I wasn't saying it to the people in that auditorium. I was saying it to God, God, I give up. I surrender. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what you want. And you know, those simple words can be so difficult to say when we have our own agenda, we have our own plan, to say to God, I give up. Here am I. Here am I, Lord. Not what I want, what you want. Four phrases. Four simple, easy phrases, but yet sometimes very difficult to say. Say it with me, will you? What's the first one? Thank you. What's the second one? I love you. The third? I'm sorry. And the number four, here am I.